guys, for week 5 for Family Game Review's weekly podcast, we're going to talk about the new Xbox One X and what do you need to have 4K gaming in your home. Hey, what's up, guys? It's Michael from Family Game Review, and always I have with me...
Candy Corn.
It's
Camille.
No, we're going to change her name legally to Candy Corn.
I wouldn't mind that. I could use all the phrases.
Yeah, that's true. You know. Yeah, that is true. You could use all the phrases. I could see that. I could see that happening. So, we've been having a little schedule issuing, with our podcast as of late because E3 was this week, and Camille and I made a conscious decision to wait to do our podcast until E3 was in its last day so we could see all the announcements, all the hoopla, all the big things that the big three are doing, Microsoft, Sony, and Nintendo. But this podcast is not going to be about the games at the show. There's hundreds of sites out there. You could go and read up about the games. And if we really had to cover every game, let's just be honest about it.
Yeah.
Go on, Cam. It's just going to be for hours. This is going to be like a couple hour podcast.
One thing we noticed about E3 this year is that it seems a lot of companies were going for quality instead of quantity.
Yes.
And I don't necessarily mean that in a bad way, because if you think about when the Xbox One was released, you know, they took a huge leap of faith and released it with a title called Titanfall.
Uh-huh.
Titanfall paid off and became a huge hit. People every day are playing Titanfall 2 now around the world. So it ended up being a fabulous game. But this E3, this year, it seems that rather than releasing consoles with a new title, that, you know, only one new title and maybe a couple supporting titles, they're supporting a wide net of titles so as to try to capture more of the gamers, more of the market.
Very true. I'll give an example. At Sunday at the E3 broadcast of Microsoft's new, you know, at their conference, they showed the new Xbox One X. And we'll get to that in a few moments. But what shocked me was the fact that Microsoft said we have 42 titles in the, you know, in the bandwidth that are going to be available or be coming soon for the Microsoft Xbox One X. Now, if you don't know what that is, which a lot of us don't, it is Microsoft's version of a 4K console. It's supposed to be almost twice as faster in RAM, processing power, you name it. It's a nice console. Now, there's some concerns that Camille and I saw in the show. This is not a bashing of Microsoft. It's not a bashing of Sony, nor are we Xbox One fanboys or PS4 fanboys. It's just we want to see it how it is, and we are going to talk about it honestly. And, you know, people have their own opinions, and you're entitled to it. But the truth of the matter is, as we are a gaming site to help gamers choose, well, families choose the best gaming consoles, we want to be honest about the fact that if you are going to go into a 4K platform, whether it's Microsoft, Sony, a PC, expect the cost, expect what to have, what you need to have, and expect, you know, the prices and storage capacity. So these are some things that we're going to cover. Camille?
Yeah, that's definitely the most important part of this podcast for families, for parents, for gamers, is what you can expect because of E3. You may not be a heavy gamer, you may be the parent of a gamer, but this podcast, we're going to go over what you can expect your kids to come asking for pretty soon, or, you know, what titles, what consoles, you know, what you should be prepared for as a gaming family, and also how to avoid some trip ups, you know,
exactly,
some faux pas that may happen. Mm-hmm. So
number one, for those that are not aware, Microsoft is going to release a new console in this November. It is the Microsoft Xbox One X as an X-ray. Again, it's a 4K console that is able to play 4K games, you know, natively, you know, 60 frames per second and so forth. Now, the technical aspects, you know, if you have any questions on, just go ahead and shoot us an email, shoot us, you know, anything on social media. But is it necessary for you to have a 4K console to play 4K content? The answer is yes. Is it a high need, such as for parents that said, wait a minute, I just bought my kid an Xbox One, or I just bought my kid a PlayStation 4. Does Sony have a 4K console? The answer is yes. Sony does have a 4K console. It's a PlayStation Pro. Now, at the time of this recording, you could run out there between $249 and $299, get a regular PlayStation 4, where a PlayStation 4 Pro or a PS4 Pro is $399 because it's a 4K console. Now, one of the major differences is the fact that the PS4 Pro does not have an ultra 4K Blu-ray player, where the Xbox One S that's currently available has a ultra high def Blu-ray player that could play 4K videos and 4K movies and so forth, where the Xbox One X as an X-ray is a pure 4K console. The next question you're asking is, I already own an Xbox One. Do I need an Xbox One X? Well, that depends on if you want to be a 4K gamer. Now, Microsoft has said for the current games out there, they will support 4K content for those that own an Xbox One X when it comes out this winter. I personally do not see the need of it at this time. But for those that are saying, hey, I'm questioning me, you know, about getting one, or hey, I already have a 4K TV, I'm just going to run out and get the console, you know, trade my kid's console in and just upgrade to the Xbox One X. There's certain things that you need to know. Myself and Camille, we had to learn this the hard way.
Oh, yeah. And with many trips back and forth to the electronics store.
We, over a year ago, purchased, under the assumption and understanding that the Xbox One S was going to support HDR, which is high dynamic range. That's how you get the pretty colors and everything. That's, you know, this is the most lamest terms we're going to use in this podcast.
Well, I think at first it's important to let people know there's a difference between 4K and HDR.
Yes, and I was going to get to that. So what it is that 18 months ago in the market, companies like Vizio, Sony, Toshiba, LG, Samsung started to get on the 4K bandwagon. They were like, hey, let's make 4K affordable. Let's get people to go into 4K. Well, there's two types of TVs out there. There's your standard 4K television, which you could easily run to Walmart, Best Buy, and pick up. But in order to fully take advantage of the game's high definition graphics and HDR, you have to own a 4K television that supports HDR. It has to say on the box or in the instruction manual that this television set, this smart TV you own, it supports 4K HDR. If you don't have it, you know, that nice screen where you'd go to the compatibility screen on your Xbox One, for an example, it's going to give you all these checkoffs and it's going to give you big fat X's to let you know that you don't have HDR on this television. Meaning that certain games that you play that are 4K compatible will not show up in 4K. Or if you try to go on Netflix and watch that nice video of the dolphin swimming, or, you know, downtown Hong Kong or whatever the case may be, it's not going to be in that nice HDR, those rich settings that you see in the, you know, in the stores when they do the displays, or the games that you see on the YouTube channels and so forth.
HDR sort of makes the difference between the quality of photo on a smartphone, say of a sunset, versus the quality of the picture from a professional camera of a sunset.
Or the best term to use is for those that own Apple iPads that have the Retina display. Mm. You see how rich and beautiful the colors are? That's what HDR gaming would be. Now, that's a simple thing. You could ask a sales rep or just look, you know, just go online and type the model number of the television and it'll tell you right away if it's HDR or not. But if you're looking to get to the full 4K experience, that's the first thing you need. Second thing, for those like myself and Camille in our gaming facility, we have a 7.2 surround sound. So if you're the type that's a gadget nut like myself, and you have a surround sound, you have to make sure your surround sound receiver could not only support 4K, but it could also support 4K with HDR. Again, if you're plugging your console into your surround sound and you have a Blu-ray player, or you have like your cable box and so forth, everything plugs into your surround sound unit, And then your surround sound is what sends the signal to the television. So you need to make sure your surround sound receiver is 4K compatible as well as HDR. This is something we had to learn the hard way. Camille and I picked up a receiver that was 4K compatible 2 years ago, thinking, oh, we don't need to do anything else. All of a sudden, the HDR comes out, and lo and behold, we are contacting Best Buy saying, wait a minute, you sold us a 4K receiver, but we need something with HDR.
Yes, and I just want to pop in the nutshell version for anyone who's not following some of the technical jargon, because I know when this snafu first happened, I was a little bit confused and upset over, you know, what do you mean? We bought a 4K TV, you told us it was HDR, it turns out it wasn't HDR, so fortunately we bought the warranty and that also had to be swapped out. So, you know, the nutshell version of it is that if you're going to invest in a console that is 4K and HDR, it's all about the weakest link in the chain. So if your TV and or your receiver cannot handle both 4K and HDR, then there is no point in getting that 4K and HDR console.
Exactly.
If you already have the TV and the receiver that can handle 4K and HDR, fair game. You know, go exactly. ahead and get it. But just be aware of that before you go out and drop a bunch of cash on a new console and then say, hey, wait a minute, the picture looks the same.
And that's what happened to a lot of friends of ours. They're like, wait a minute, Mike, I got a 4K TV and I just bought a PlayStation 4 Pro and, you know, why am I not, you know, getting all these, you know, colors and stuff? It just looks like an upscaled picture of what I used to play on my 1080p TV. It's because the HDR makes a difference. Now, some people will say it doesn't. I personally feel when I see a game in 4K that's in HDR, like Overwatch on the PC or something else, it makes a big difference. And if you're going to spend that much money, and, you know, you could always send us a message and we could tell you like the best combo packages that you could create yourself that are less than $600-$700 for your, you know, for like optimal viewing from TV surround sound to speakers, even cabling, it makes a big difference. But no matter what console you go with for your 4K gaming, whether it's an Xbox One, PlayStation 4, you know, with Microsoft or Sony, excuse me, one big thing that you're going to need is an external hard drive. Now, before you say to yourself, oh, Mike, I got a 1 terabyte external hard drive. Yeah, that's great. But guess what? 4K content is 4 times the size of something in 1080p. I'll give you an example. We talked to a developer over E3, and she told us if we had to take one of their games that's normally 45 gigabytes in size, and that includes the whole root to the toot, everything that comes with the game, music and everything that's downloaded, you're looking at another 15 to 20 gigabytes if you're going to play that game in 4K. Now, you could do the math. Like, if you sit there and say to yourself, okay, I got a 2 terabyte hard drive, I should be able to fit easily like 10, 15, 20 games on there that are 4K. It is kind of stretching it. But now with hard drive prices coming down in price, like from Amazon to Best Buy, you could easily say, hey, I'll drop $200 and get like a nice 8 terabyte hard drive. Before you think that's an overkill, trust me. How many? I think we have 600 games on the Xbox One and about 400 on our PS4. And we have about at least a 5 terabyte on each one of the consoles. And it's, you know, it is getting filled. So before you think to yourself, oh, I don't need it, or I want to delete this game, think of it this way. Your kids go online, they want to play Battlefield, or they want to play the new Madden or so forth. It's going to take X amount of time to install 40 to 60 gigs onto the hard drive. Then they could go and play. Now, they have that feature where you could play as it's downloading and so forth, but nobody wants to sit and wait 10, 15 minutes. But now you have to say, okay, I'm running out of space. What do I delete? So you say, hey, I'm going to delete Madden and just reinstall it when my friends get online. Well, guess what? When your friends get online and they're ready to play, they're not going to wait for you. They're going to say, hey, we have it installed. We're going to just play this. Just catch up with us when you get this installed. And trust me, Camille and I play multiplayer all the time online with our friends, and nothing is more of a joy killer is to have one of your friends that you desperately need on your squad to say, I gotta download something, give me about an hour, and I'll be back online.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know that, Cam.
Oh, yes, I do. Or when someone has to, you know, wait and download new maps or downloadable content, whatever. But, you know, for me, at the end of the day, a game is a game is a game. You either love it or you don't. I don't feel that my life is significantly impacted by whether or not I'm on 4K and HDR. But I do want to point out that this may be more important if you have someone in your gaming family who has impaired color vision, colored blindness, whatever the case may be, because that HDR really does make a difference in seeing the different elements and details in the game. And because so many games do not, I would say most, do not have a colored blind mode.
A good 60% of them do not. Like now it's becoming more popular with AAA titles, but for indie titles and downloadable titles, you still don't see that aspect.
Right. So in that, you know, for those families, then I would say it's more of a necessity and less of a personal preference.
I would say from a person that has, you know, in our game testing, when we have a lot of our game testers that do have colorblind issues.
Including yourself.
Including myself. I can't see red or green, just like a lot of males, you know, are not able to see red or green. But with an HDR set, and I'm not a, you know, I'm not trying to advertise for you to run out and buy a 4K HDR set, but for those that have issues seeing colors on an HDR set, when there is a HDR image there, it makes it a lot easier for someone like myself that has a hard time seeing red and green, able to see red and green. Again, also, we have a 43-inch, a 50-inch, and a 42-inch that we test on, and all three of our sets that are HDR, 4K, were less than $550. Now, we're not including a five-year warranty that we purchased through Best Buy, but they're very inexpensive compared to like 10 years ago when a 725, you know, 50-inch TV was about $5,000. So that's something to think about also. I mean, if you're thinking about getting a family gift, it's a great gift because the picture and, you know, now the broadcasters and everything's going 4K, it's better to be ahead of the curve. Let's touch on the other elephant in the room with Microsoft. Microsoft's Xbox One X console is going to be $500. That is not something that's cheap. If, you know, if you really look at it, Microsoft's Xbox One right now is about $200. $249 if you want to get the Xbox One S, which we highly recommend. But if you look at it, you're paying $500 for 4K gaming, where the Sony PlayStation Pro is $399 compared to $499 for the Microsoft one.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, the Microsoft one is a lot more superior in its techs and specs and so forth, but if I don't care and the games that I play personally are coming out on both consoles, I would go with Sony. That's just my preference, and you know how big of a supporter I am of Microsoft.
I understand where you're coming from, but I will tell you about one thing that came out of E3 this year that makes me disagree with you.
Please.
Cross-platform.
Ah.
For the first time in history, and I'm so happy, I've been waiting for this.
She has.
For the first time in history, gamers on the Xbox will say you have Minecraft on the Xbox, but maybe you have a friend or a cousin or whoever who has it on the PC and someone else who has it on Nintendo. They're going cross-platform with a lot of titles, and they'll be adding to those titles. So yes, the Xbox X will be $100 more than a PlayStation 4 Pro, but if you have a lot of friends or family, loved ones, whoever, who game on different consoles, think of how much that opens up, that you now don't have to rely on others having the same console as you in order to be able to play together.
I agree with that. I am, because the fact that my kids are in the Bay Area in San Francisco, my daughter plays on the Xbox One Minecraft, my son plays on his tablet,
mm-hmm.
yourself and myself here, we play respectively on the Xbox Ones. It allows us to cross-play with our kids. And now the announcement was with Rocket League will be cross-platforms from the Switch to PC to console. And I think that was a great move. Now, Sony has not jumped on board. Nothing to knock on Sony, but, you know, this is something that in the next couple of years will decide a big difference factor. Like, for especially for parents that say, hey, I have tablets for the kids on the road trip. I have an Xbox One or a Nintendo Switch in the bedroom for the kids to play on. Guess what, Sony? If you're not jumping on board soon, this may be something that may be a deal breaker for a lot of parents to say, I want the ability for my kids and their family and friends to be able to play, even though they don't own the same console. But if they have a PlayStation and that's all they have, they may be left out in dust.
Yeah, and it's both a social factor and a financial factor, because the social factor, you know, it's great if you know, more than one household can play together online, whether it's friends, family. It's just fabulous that a person can play Steam and have a, you know, play a game with someone on the Xbox somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
It's also, for me, it's a financial bonus, because that's something that you have to take into consideration when you do invest in a console and say, are we going to be an Xbox family, a Sony family, you know, a PlayStation family, a Nintendo family? You always, well, me, as, you know, from the parental perspective, you always want to get the most out of your gaming dollars. And so I say look for the platforms that will help you achieve that.
Yes, I agree. Now, again, I think at this time, Sony is saying to themselves, like, look, what's best for our players? As if you look at it, the numbers, Sony does rule when it comes to consoles. They have over 60 million, I think. I could be wrong with that number, of consoles sold across the world, where Microsoft's only at 36 million. So that's a big factor. And this is being made as a decision from a third-party support, from third-party companies that's saying, hey, let's go cross-platform. You know, and again, this is something that they're testing the waters on. It may work, it may not work, and it may crash and burn, or it may be successful. I'm hoping it's successful, because console exclusivity, and I'm saying this now, is the worst thing that that could be in the business, because it forces a player to say, okay, if I want to play Titanfall, like how Xbox had Titanfall first, to say, okay, I have to spend $400 on a console just to play one title.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? If your friends don't have that cash flow, then you may be left alone to find new friends, or just playing solo. Now, I can understand DLC being an exclusivity for either Sony or for Microsoft, but guess what, guys? Us gamers, we're not divided based on console. We are gamers, and even as gaming families, you don't want to be left in the dust because one company or one brand could afford to pay that extra millions of dollars versus the other one, and now you're kind of like stuck in a rut. But I digress. So some of the games that caught my eye when we were watching the E3 broadcast, they were interesting. I was kind of disappointed with both Microsoft and Sony's broadcast, and I was excited at the same time, some of the announcements. One personally that I jumped up, and you could even ask Camille while we were seeing the broadcast, mm-hmm. of Microsoft, was a new Ori game that was coming. I must have jumped out of the seat. Me being a 350-pound man, I did that Super Mario jump in full excitement when I saw the new Ori game. Ori and the new Wisp. Oh, God. I can't even.
Ori and the Wisp.
The Wisp.
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 Right.
It's like Stewie saying cool.
Like wisping away.
Yes. They had no other details. I tried to reach my Microsoft contact. She says, hey, guess what? I don't know as much as you don't know. So guess what? We both don't know as much. Another game that I was really excited about at the Ubisoft conference was Mario and the Rabbids Kingdom Battle. For those that have played XCOM or are big strategy fans, imagine taking the rabbits from the, you know, from the Ubisoft world, taking the Mario characters, putting them together in a strategy type game, and they go to work. Other games, Tacoma, from the people that did Gone Home, you know, from Fulbright, I loved Gone Home. It's probably one of my top 10 games of all time ever. Camille will tell you how I talk so passionately about Gone Home, and I can't wait for this title. Now, I purposely did not see the video, but everyone and their mother, trust me, I had some mothers contact me and say, Mike, did you see the new Spider-Man game that's coming out for the PlayStation? I saw some pictures and screenshots, and because I didn't want to spoil myself, that is something that if you are a Spider-Man fan, that is something you really want to keep your eye on. So,
It was, you know, exclusive premiere clip after clip after clip. And like I said in the beginning of the podcast, not every new game clip blew us away. The ones that did really blew us away, like Ori.
Beyond Good and Evil 2. Life is Strange, a sequel. Spider-Man that I saw. Star Wars Battlefront 2. I know there's a lot of Star Wars fans out there that are listening to us. It's a must-have. If you're a true Star Wars fan, go to the store right now, reserve a copy, and just have a countdown ready.
And that's why I think that they're casting the wider net and trying to capture more of the gaming audience, because, you know, Titanfall was a win. It was a huge hit. Still is. But what if gamers weren't necessarily into shooters or those types of, you know, first person or third person?
There are some gamers that I know, you know, in our outside of our, you know, family game review business that we run, you know, our nonprofit with our respective jobs. We have clients that are strategy fans or just sports fans.
Or RPG fans.
Like our neighbor, he is a diehard football, basketball, and baseball sports fan. That's all he plays. He doesn't physically play it, but he plays it on the console. Like every year, he's at the store with a new Madden, new NBA 2K, and a new MLB from the Sony every year, religiously. Like, it's his, you know, it's his Christmas right there when those games come out. And, you know, with the 4K, you know, talk we're talking about, because E3 released a lot of games, a lot of indie developers released new things. And, again, this will be like a three-hour-long conversation, so we're not going to go into that. But getting back to the 4K talk from E3... my assumption right now is that a lot of companies around Christmas time are going to drop their price, especially around Black Friday, on 4K HDR, you know, televisions. And Microsoft knows this. That's why they're releasing their 4K console right around the time that televisions are going to go down. Now, let's just be real, okay? Just like with the Nintendo Switch, Microsoft knows everybody and their mother that's a diehard gamer is going to want the new console. If you are interested in it and you have the finances for it, I'm going to tell you right now, speaking with some GameStop reps that I've spoken to, the earlier you could reserve it, the better you are off. Don't think you're going to walk into GameStop at midnight of the night of release and you're going to pick up a console. If you can, great. You know, good for you. But don't have this arrogant thought, oh, they're going to have enough consoles and I'm be able to pick one up, take one home, or do whatever. No, guess what? There are going to be people like how we went to get the Switch, Camille, remember? There was a guy and girl, boyfriend, girlfriend couple that was waiting since 6:30 in the morning?
Seven. I remember they said they got there at 7 in the morning.
And it was freezing cold, and they camped out that 14 hours.
Yes, and it was below freezing. Longer than that, because it was a midnight release, or 9...
No, about 15 hours.
So yeah, it was about 15 hours.
No, 12, like 7:30, 8:30, 9:30. 10:30, 11:30.
It was a long time.
Yeah, it's a long time. They didn't even use the bathroom.
Lawn chairs, huddled in blankets.
And they looked at me when we went to pick it up and, you know, Camille went to the car because it was really cold. And I looked at the guy and I said to him, look, you look like you really got to use the bathroom. He's like, yes, I got to go pee. And the girl's like, I got to pee too, but we don't want to lose our place. I said, how about this? I'll hold your place. And before I can even finish my sentence, they're already running to the porta potty. and they're coming back, and you know, and if they have that much determination to get this console, imagine what others around you in your local neighborhood are going to do to get the new Microsoft console. They may say, oh, I'm not going to buy it. But guess what? More likely, you're going to run into them at the midnight launch trying to find one.
I remember that very same night when we, you know, the store finally opened for the launch and we were inside nice and warm. Mm-hmm. I remember that girl came in. I should say young woman. She looked like she was about mid-20s or so. Mm-hmm. And she was just totally flabbergasted that she couldn't get her Switch. You know, she had gotten one on reserve before, but she came back and she seemed so angry that, you know, how dare they not have an extra Switch for me? Folks, plan ahead. The gaming industry has changed. The demographics have changed. And if you're interested, thousands of other people like you are interested also. So make sure you pre-reserve. Do your homework. One way to make your whole gaming experience better, including the expenditure, plan ahead.
Yes.
Buy bigger external memory than you need. If, you know, 2 terabyte is recommended, but you see a 4 terabyte that's on sale, buy the bigger one. Mm-hmm. You know, future-proof it so that you don't find that only a year later you're out making the same purchase again.
Exactly. I'm writing a blog as we speak. Again, E3 has pushed us back on our schedule by a couple of days. I'm going to have a checklist on there, a shopping checklist, like what do I need to get into 4K? So I will definitely, you know, definitely check on the site. Mm-hmm. You'll see that list. Guys, you know, we're very passionate gamers here. You know, Camille and I are avid gamers, our family, gaming family here. When we do testing, we test on a broad spectrum of everything from puzzler games to games that want to make you throw your controller against the wall because they're that difficult.
It happens.
You know, that's why we got pillows around the walls. But we're passionate because we want to make sure that you have the most optimal experience. And video games, you may say it's childish, or people may say, oh, that's just immature to play video games when you go home and rather than reading a book. That's fine. It's your thing. But video games bring people together. And over the past 30 plus years of gaming, I have seen some of the most beautiful friendships form and bonds of family where kids play together. You'll see kids like two of our closest friends, Anthony and Joseph. They're 90s kids. They're real good friends of ours. I call them brothers to me. They're twins. But when you see them passionately talk about playing Mario Kart or how they play Dragon Ball Z, you see the love in their eyes of what they play. And we want to make sure that you guys have that love in your eyes when you play a game. You know, you could like talk about like, oh my God, did you see when we did that quad kill on this? Or did you see how I beat that level in less than this time? It's people talking about it passionately. And we want to make sure that when you're gaming, that you find the cheapest prices, you find that the right games for you or your family and so forth. Because one thing that never changed is how happy you are when you're with the controller and you beat that level. Trust me, you guys know that feeling when you conquer that level after multiple times and you finally do it. Camille? Oh, hold on. She's taking her pill. And I still have my allergy cold, so.
We like the blind leading the blind here being sick, but sorry about that, folks. And for me, you know, it comes down to value. And I think every parent can sort of relate to, when am I going to have to do this again? And probably a lot of you are out there saying, wait a minute, I it feels like just a month ago I bought my kid an Xbox One or an Xbox One S or a PlayStation, and now they're coming out with new consoles. What's going on? So we want to help you know what's best for you and whether you really need it. And also, do check out, one thing I want to point out, do check out the other value points of each proposition. You know, by proposition, I mean platform. So, for instance, PlayStation may not have cross-platform, at least not as of the time of this recording, But they do have PlayStation View. And if you are a family looking to cut the cord from your cable company, then that's a heck of a lot of value, because you can get all the TV your heart desires and movies too, right?
Mm-hmm. PlayStation View is a phenomenal deal. I highly recommend getting the PlayStation View if you want to cut the cord.
Yeah, we actually might be about to cut the cord with PlayStation View as a gaming nonprofit. Reviewer, obviously, we have to have multiple consoles, but, you know, PlayStation View is so impressive. At the same time, Microsoft Xbox is increasing its backwards compatibility all the way back to the original Xbox.
Yes, that's true. I forgot to mention that.
So, you know, it's really, you really have to do your homework. If you want to know that you got the best value, it's not just the most for your dollar, it's the best value for your dollar and planning ahead. If you don't game with a lot of other families, friends, whoever, you know, on different platforms, then maybe the PlayStation View with their TV and movie service, which is amazing, that might be a much better choice for you as a family. But if your family is anything like Michael's, Michael, just so you know, Michael is of, what's the PC way to say it, of South Pacific Islander descent.
Yeah, my family tree is like an Excel spreadsheet, trust me.
No, an Excel spreadsheet doesn't even cover it. They have their own private social network to keep in touch, and I'm not exaggerating.
But we're going off topic here.
No, I know, Mike's getting a little blushed. But the fact is, if he's got 20 cousins on the PlayStation, 32 cousins on the Xbox, and 40 cousins on the PC, guess what? Well, at least the Xbox and PC players can play together now. And, you know, that's something to think about, especially if you're an Islander family.
It is for any family. Again, you know, I wish there was more talk about the E3 events, but to be honest with you, this is more about, you know, the gaming of the future. Now, as you see it, you know, with everything now going into 4K, you know, a lot of, like, I'll tell you this much. With a lot of the developers we spoke to, a lot of them are highly considering switching over to 4K. Mm. It's because it's the signs of the times. If you look back 10 years ago, maybe 12 years ago, when 1080p was coming into availability, a lot of gamers were saying, wait a minute, do I really need 1080p? It took a long time to adopt into 1080p, but the adoption rate compared to 1080p then versus 1080p to 4K now is much more. And almost every developer we spoke to, every independent developer we spoke to, except for the exception of four, said that they have all intent of their next IP titles coming out to be in 4K.
And I think it's important to remember, and I'm not trying to get socio-political here, but we are a capitalist consumer society. It's all about having the latest and the greatest. And Family Gamer Review, we want to let you know, or at least help you decide for yourself, is it what you need? Is it really what you want? Because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter if it's the latest and the greatest, if it's not what's right for you.
Exactly.
Now, Michael, I do want to raise my hand and say, I've got one short thing that I'd like to say about Nintendo, but we haven't mentioned Nintendo yet. Mm-hmm. I will kick it off by saying that I was very surprised by the fact that there weren't really any in-person presentations for Nintendo for E3. There were new titles announced, but all of the developers submitted pre-recorded clips to be shown.
Well, there were pre-recorded clips of gameplay footage. Mm-hmm. A lot of the stuff was on the floor.
Their presentation. But a lot of their
first party presentation was like pre-recorded things. We had a friend go to New York, to the New York Nintendo store in New York City, and they had some shows out there. But again, this is not, I wish it was more about E3, but because it was mostly about major titles.
Yeah.
And we don't want to cover major titles right now because there's so much coverage out there. It's all about understanding the hardware. Now, if the demand is there from what we are seeing, we may do a future podcast, maybe in a week or two, about the titles that we did see at E3. Right. But again, this is more about 4K gaming that was being more announced at E3. It was kind of like the elephant in the room, but at the same time, it was being addressed by developers. And at the same time, it was not being addressed. And that's why we wanted to clear up some of the confusion for people that are saying, do I need a 4K TV or not?
Mike, did you notice how they almost wanted to stroke everybody's back? Because each time we saw, at least I remember this from the Microsoft portion of E3, every time they released, you know, exclusive new game content like a clip, they released it as exclusive and new, and then later into the footage, it had a little sidebar come out that said, watch it in enhanced 4K and HDR on the Xbox X. So they wanted to let you know that if you still have the Xbox One or the Xbox One S, don't worry, we've got you covered. But if you buy into the Xbox One X, you know, we've got these enhanced features for you. And like Michael said, you know, right now, especially with the major titles, you can go to any major game reviewer and find out more. We are more interested in bringing you the information that the others aren't bringing you, like what's going to be the best choice for you as a gamer or your family.
Exactly. So we will have a blog up, and I will have a guide on what to be ready for 4K gaming.
Don't forget the cables.
Yeah, from what cables to use to what type of television, the smart TV you need, to surround sound, storage. We've been dabbling about opening up an Amazon store to just put into the Amazon store where the best prices are. That's something.
Not an actual store. But,
not a store where we're selling things at, but a list of things on Amazon where it's the best place and the cheapest place to get the highest quality things.
Right. So, like if we do our own research and we find something at a great deal, we're thinking about some way that we can let you know about that great deal. So if it's a big money saver, you can cash in on that also. But we haven't figured that out yet.
Yeah, we'll probably do it through social media, but we're figuring that out. Now, again, guys, any questions on 4K, from the gaming to what I need, or, oh my God, is my TV even ready, you know, just send us a message on, you know, on social media. Our engineer here in the booth is telling us to hurry the hell up, so we are going to. So again, just hashtag us, or, you know, send us a message, or let us know what's going on. Any questions, we're always happy to answer. Again, this is Michael
and Camille,
and we thank you.
Candy corn.
Yeah. And again, guys, I'm thank you so much for your time.
A quick plug.
Sure.
That was from, what was that? Costume Quest.
Costume Quest 2.
I'm just going to do a little plug in there because I am still playing the part of Candy Corn. So I should give them.
And normally we do our podcast for 25 minutes. This went over because of the 4K talk. But
Candy Corn thinks it was worth it.
It was worth it. Any questions, guys, hit us up. Let us know what you think. Again, thank you so much for your time, and we'll see you next week.
Have a great night, guys.
Take care.